Good morning, everybody. And it is a blessing to be here. You know, I hope I've been a blessing to everybody here, too. I know coming down here and being with the body is something that we lack in Georgia, and it's always nice, and I appreciate it all. Scott Stevens was talking about the body when he was here on Thursday, and I couldn't stop but think about how much it's all a fruit of Davy. And I mean, 35 years ago, Davy preached to my mom. She accepted the Lord. I'm a fruit of that 35 years ago, or, you know, later. Steve's a fruit of that. Scott, you're a fruit of that. You know, and Davy was willing to stand and say things that we didn't want to hear. But he stood firm in the grace in Christ Jesus. And he died to his flesh. He was not afraid to offend us. I bet everybody in this room's been offended by Davy at one time. But it was to our good. I would say everybody here would say that it was to their good. And so we need to do the same thing. We need to go out and die to ourselves. We talked about Phil last week, the seed and the sower. What seed are we going to sow? Davy sowed the good seed on the good ground. Where are we going to sow? What seed are we going to lay down? And I think that, you know, we need to be ready. If Davy didn't feel good one day or whatever, one of us wouldn't be here. It didn't matter what was going on. Davy was willing to preach the gospel. It was love. The love what you guys have talked about for months now. Amen.
I kind of had a sense of how this was going to work in my head, but James said something I need to say something about. I've been told I have a face for radio. And I found that I'm much more attractive when people can't see me. And that's kind of how people approach Jesus. He's a lot more attractive when you can't see him. But when somebody's amongst you who can walk it out and holds you accountable for how Jesus is and revealing him to you, it becomes a rock of offense and a lot less attractive. And you see people peel off when that happens. But if that person is walking it out, is sowing the seed, that's the only way you're ever going to see the fruit. You got to keep sowing it until some comes up. And if you're going to talk about faithfulness, yeah, he's got 35 years behind him. And I wouldn't go so far as to call us good seed, but it has at least come up. So, just hope when we keep, putting the water on it, letting it have sunshine, feed it with the word, that it'll prosper in the Lord. Let's see, so much talent here, so little time. Scotty, come up here for a little bit.
It's always nice to be able to come to South Carolina. I talked about that on Thursday night, how much of a blessing it was after a year. I mean, we've been up with all the Yankees in New England, and we get a chance to see Charlie and Karen and Steve and others in the fellowship up north. But the truth of the matter is, where we are alone, Gail and I, and thank God we have each other, but the internet fellowship is really a critical element of our spiritual survival and sustenance. And this is something we do in this ministry for one another. And Paul told me last night he was going to ask me to say some things here today, and I thought a little bit about, I generally don't, but I did today, I thought a little bit about what the Lord might have me talk about. And I got thinking about humility and service and how those two things are the most critical elements of the body working the way that the Lord wants it to work. You brought up Davy. And the line of authority is a critical machine that keeps everything running. It's the way things are put together so that the body works the way that the Lord wants it to work. Irregardless of what we might think about how that system of things is ordered, He actually has a plan and purpose for all of it. And what I was thinking of this morning was humility in all of this. And Matthew 6:24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold of the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. This is a black and white deal, our walk in Jesus Christ. It's a black and white deal. And every situation, every place we go, everything we do, there's two different ways we can do it. And which one we choose has a lot more to do with what's going on inside of us than what's going on outside of us. All right? Jesus left us with two commandments, right? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. These are simple ideas, but they're rooted in humility and repentance. I don't know about anybody else, but I came to the table with the attitude that I was extraordinarily deserving of every good thing that this life had to offer. That was the place I began. I think some people come from a little different direction, but I know my attitude was there was no good thing out here that I couldn't figure out a way, maneuver, manipulate, or otherwise contrive to be a partaker of. Every routine, every thought, every idea that I had was wrapped up around getting my way. And whether that meant getting my wife to like me, getting my boss to pay me, getting you to cooperate with me, I generally thought I was able to make all of those things happen and was deserving of every good result of those things. Now, this isn't something that just altogether I think all the time in my head as a carnal person. I didn't know that that was what the carnal walk was all about. As an unbeliever, I didn't realize that my problem was me. It was everything around me, all the people that bothered me, all of the money that I didn't have, all of the various things that I thought were the problems, as it turned out, actually don't really matter at all. And as a Christian, the Lord blessed us with a simple set of guidelines. I don't know about anybody else, but I struggle to follow them. I struggle to put God first and the other guy next, because too often I still think I ought to have the best of everything. Too often I arrive in every situation thinking that I have the world by the tail, or at least I ought to. And the fear of the Lord is the other element of this. If we believe God, we're going to take these instructions seriously. Right? It's not going to be, we're going to do this thing so that everybody can see it. We're going to seriously inside ourselves get with God in our closets and get figured out what He wants from us. What it is that pleases Him that we might somehow be able to walk in and do. And all of that requires coming to that place of repentance where you don't see that you deserve any good thing from God. And that's what the fear of the Lord, and we get a lot of this in this ministry, praise God, through the line of authority, when we're corrected and we find out how difficult it is to do the simplest thing that a minister of God tells us we might ought to do. How hard it is for us first to hear it, then to figure out how to do it. I don't know about anybody else, but many of the things of faith for that guy who figured he had the world by the tail are hard for me to do. I don't know about anybody else, but they're hard for me to do. I found it easy to be a carnal person before I came to know the Lord. And it's only by a conscious choice. It talks about choosing the fear of the Lord. The idea that we, in our daily walk, recognize, because if we believe, this is an element of all this, we recognize that God is in and through all things. He's around all things. He's among us in the body. We want to get this right if we believe his word. And in the end, it's not what anybody else thinks about what we do or how we operate that's going to matter. What's going to matter is what God thinks. Amen. And that's all that's going to matter. And see, all of that other stuff, carnally, those are the distractions of the world that stop us from remembering that most important thing. I don't know about anybody else, but I forget that God is the most important thing. And you see, that brings me back to this thing about humility and love and service. In the world, we think about love as philios, more or less, how we feel, and you know, whether we're warm and bubbly and affectionate for God or for Jesus or for one another. In the spirit, it's about making a decision to set someone first. It's preferential by decision, that love. And to actually get practice in setting God first and others next and ourselves last, at least in my experience, has been something that has come only through great chastisement and suffering. I don't know about anybody else, but that's how I've had to learn. I've had to lose most things that I thought were important to come to a place where I knew and understood what was important. And in that loss and chastisement, whether it be money or other things that I thought I wanted, at the end of that, each and every piece of that experience, I get a bigger piece of the Lord. I come to know a little bit better how to serve him. But it never gets to a point where I still don't have to make a conscious choice about these things. I have to choose the fear of the Lord. I have to choose humility. I have to choose to serve. Because I'm carnally just as wicked as I was the day I asked the Lord to be my Lord. And that's another thing. I forget. And you see, what all of this service and humility and loving God and setting him first is about taking the time ourselves to do that. We get together and have services. This is a good thing. It's a good thing. Come together in fellowship. Gail and I, praise God, we don't get as much of it as we would like. But in the end, when Jesus says, do not your alms before men, talks about going into your closet and getting with, you know, make your prayers to God. All right, that's really where all of the building blocks of our service and our humility and our love for one another Those are where the blocks get made, in those places where we're seeking the Lord for our own sake, and even more important, for the sake of those around us, particularly for those who are over us. And as we move forward, I know for me, in the ministry, the convention this year was a place. I actually went to the convention really wondering whether I was going to be able to continue to be a Christian. Now, I got so many things going on in my head that ain't of God, that it is like listening to a bad orchestra most of the time. I mean, so the idea that somehow or another I might be able to get the thing that the Lord set before me when I first was introduced to him, which was his kingdom, I actually might be able to get that. As time's gone on for me, it seems more to me like it's just out of reach all the time. And my mind, well, like I said, when I went to the convention, I'm thinking, man, these people here are a lot better off than I am in terms of their relationship with God. And I struggle with that all the time. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I do. I struggle with that all the time. So what I want to finish up with is that each of us, if we want what the Lord has, if we want to learn of him and receive the fullness of his eternal kingdom at the end of our walk here, that humility and service, that decision to put him first in all things, we've got to take the time to make that happen, each of us, on our own lonely path, even though we have fellowship one with another. It's kind of a dichotomy of how the faith works, that each of us individually have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling and come together and share the blessings of that salvation one with another. It's built up into a body that then ministers Jesus out here in the world. And so for me, I wanted to speak these things because I want to remember them. I want to remember that each and every day, and as I go through the day, there's two choices. Either I'm first or God's first. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I mean, there's a couple of things that you pointed out, and that is, God, I'm glad I'm not the only one. You know what I mean? With the orchestration of, man, carnally, I don't want to be any part of God and what his business is. Carnally, I want to be all about myself. That's my natural state. But there was a few things, and one of the things that testified to me was just sharing a story about God's grace in your life and how when you accepted the Lord, he had showed you through your life how he was with you. And that the grace of the Lord was some big black guy putting your jaw into the side of a building with his fist. And that was the grace of God. But it made me look. It made me look. And I just, as you were testifying, here comes, it's like brings up my own testimony inside myself and remembering what the Lord has done for me over times past. I mean, it was like a flashback. I was like, man, I forgot about that. Oh my gosh. I mean, all those close times, I forgot about that. And it was a praise the Lord. It was a praise the Lord to remember. But there was something that you had said, James. And I wanted to go to Thessalonians, and I was wanting to go to Thessalonians since this morning. And we talk about chastising and how that comes about is by chastising, how your attitude was that you deserved everything in the world, that you could go and get anything you wanted. And that was your attitude. That was your natural attitude. But I'm sure what ended up happening through that line of authority, that correction and that truth came down upon you where you had to make a choice over and over again. And that you didn't even see it. You were so screwed up in it. You didn't even see it. But the Lord started showing these things of the things where you had yourself before the Lord. You had yourself before the Lord. And then that thing just started being revealed for you. Am I right, Scott? Amen. Amen. That's right. And so the Lord loves us. And so I wanted to go to Thessalonians because we have a choice. I mean, when we've all had been corrected, just like James was saying, I'm sure Davey offended every single one of us at some point. But he did it for our good, for our profit. And Scripture talks about instructing those that oppose themselves. Well, they oppose them, they oppose themselves from growing in the Lord. They deceive their own selves until the truth is being revealed to them that they can turn away from the lie that they're feeding themselves and return into to the Lord, that He can take that off you and you can be free from it. And that you can go forward in Him. It's a marvelous thing. But that still leaves you with the choice. You know, I talked about last week of the seed and the sower. One thing it says, those that fell on the good ground brought forth, you know, 100-fold. They received it. They received the word and they agreed with the word. We are the ground there. In the sense I was talking about, we're also the sower. But in that sense, that means we agree with the word. And let me tell you, that word testifies against every natural freaking piece of carnality in me. So I have a choice to make. I have a choice daily to make. You have a choice daily to make. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. As the day of Christ is at hand, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there coming a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And know you, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. And this is the part I want to get to, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And this is the part that I want to talk about, because they receive not the love of the truth. And I tell you, you might look at this and be, man, I'm not going to believe that Antichrist that comes. I'm not going to believe. But you got to understand, we get truth given to us all the time. What are we going to believe? I mean, we can go to Hebrews, and I might just go to Hebrews for a little bit, because that was another point. Because that chastisement, that leaves us with the choice. And when Christ comes with His love to correct us and chastise us, we can very easily turn away from that truth. And what happens? I mean, how many times of us that have been corrected has turned away from that correction and said, I think not. And in our own mind, we get strong delusion because we didn't love the truth. And we're sitting there soaking up the lies of the enemy that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. How many times we blame the messenger that God sends and find so much fault with him because we did not like the truth. Once again, this truth testifies against me. But I know that is freedom and that is life. And I'm going to choose to love it. Or I better choose to love it. If I don't, it's going to stink to be me. And guess what? I chose not to love it. And guess what? It stunk. Almost got me killed. But for the Lord's grace and those guys that gave me the truth, that I was frustrated about anyways, still made intercession for me in their closet on their knees. And that was the saving grace that was upon me. Not because I was special. No, because people were praying for me. Let's just go to Hebrews for a little bit. Now, as I say that, I mean, we could sit back and say, man, that sounds pretty harsh. But it's not. It's love. It's love. Look, Jesus came to save our soul. Not comfort our flesh. I mean, He came to save our soul. I mean, He wants us to enter in and not just enter in, but stay there. But if we just let corruption into our souls, how long do you think you're going to last when you go there? You give me something. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, if we enter in, I'm being nice, if we enter into eternal life, into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, you give me something perfect, I'm going to mess it up in 5 minutes. I might not have this old carnal flesh strapped to my back, but geez, I could sure screw things up in a heartbeat. So the color of my soul is still going to be there. That's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. And you were talking about fear of the Lord there. That should put the fear of God right in us. Love God, love one another. It's a simple thing. Hard to do. If we're honest. But it's a choice. And it's a freeing thing. I want to just go to Hebrews 12. I can start off that first part. I'm just going to go to verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So if you find yourself, and you find yourself on the other side of a sermon, or another side of a correction from your authority, or another side of a correction from a brother and sister in the Lord, that is truth. That hurts. That you go, oh my gosh. Ouch. Remember that scripture and say, praise God, you're still dealing with me. Praise God. I need that. The Lord still loves me. I mean, He shouldn't still be dealing with me, I don't think. I mean, I know I wouldn't put up with myself that long. But He has put up with me that long. The other question is, am I going to put up with others that long? That's what He's commanding us to do. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Here you have a choice. God is a gentleman. He's going to love you. You engage to go forward in Him and you make that choice seriously, He's going to love you. And He's going to answer that prayer that you want to go forward to Him with seriousness and honesty. And if you say, Lord, whatever it takes, be careful with that. But that's the prayer we ought to be saying. Lord, whatever it takes, He is faithful to do that work in your heart and that surgery using others to get you freed from those things that are holding you back of going forward in Him and knowing Him. But what we have that choice, like I said. I wanted to hit that in that Thessalonians, because when we turn from that and say, turn away from that truth, that gives all opportunity for the enemy, and that gives all opportunity for us to believe our own carnal mind and have strong delusion over our eyes, which is a very hard pit to get out of once you step into. And it's a scary thing. We need to make a choice to love the truth, no matter how hard, no matter how much it testifies against us. No matter how much it hurts, because it's loving. He doesn't want you to remain a selfish prick, because you're not going to stay there with them if you are. You're not going to be profitable for His kingdom. You're not going to be profitable to preach the gospel. You're not going to be profitable as a soldier. And that's why He roots these things out of us. It's not just for you, it's for others as well. Amen. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? I mean, we're talking about God of heaven and earth, perfect in love. We have children. We know how much we love them. But gosh, we're evil. But here's Jesus, who is perfect. And He's going to give us exactly what we need in the time that we need. I mean, we had fathers we feared. But man, they chasing us after their own flesh. He's doing it so that we have eternal life and we can know Him, and that others may know Him. It says, not much rather being subject unto the Father of spirits and live. That's the point. So that we can live. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. At that time, it doesn't feel good. At that time, heart may sink. At that time, it might feel faint, but what we do is say, you know what? Praise You, Lord. Because He chastened us who He loves. And now I'm gonna agree with that truth. Amen. And I'm going to be free from the thing that's trying to kill me. Because that's really what's going on. Are we going to hang on to that thing that feels good that's going to kill us? Or are we going to turn and let that go and hang on to Jesus with His life eternal? That's the choice that we have to make. We make daily. I'm done with that.
You know, the scary thing out of that Thessalonians is we all have been given an opportunity to receive the truth. I haven't always loved it, but I see this as learning not just to love the truth, but to be consumed with pleasing the Father. Loving to love and be concerned with those things which He loves and are concerned with. That's Jesus doing only that which the Father gave Him to do and speaking at only which the Father gave Him to speak. And loving the truth so much, not only that you can receive it, but you can give it out. That's loving the truth and loving those you're trying to give it to. And the downside of that is the strong delusion from a heart of unbelief that receives not the love of the truth. I'm sitting back there, and I told Philip he had a cream position because all the stuff that Scotty hit on, I've had four or five scriptures lined up there, man. From you know, to talking about our past and how our purposes were, although we fancied them as being good ones, were all about ourselves. All about, not that they're not still pretty much all about ourselves. But, you know, when you receive that mirror image of yourself, and you go, oh, God, that ability to esteem others as greater than you, to walk around in lowliness of mind, gives you a position from which you value these other people. You value that they know the truth. And you give it to them, and if they receive it, great. If they don't receive it, you did what you were supposed to do. Most of us are not content in just doing what we're supposed to do. And trusting God. And Scotty was talking, and at times when Phil was talking there, I remember, you know, Romans 5:3, and I glory in tribulation. Oh, really? Listen. yeah. Well, I am humiliated at the amount of tribulation I had to take on to myself before I could see myself as He saw me. How, but praise God, I got the tribulation. I was given an opportunity through that tribulation. And so what? As I desperately tried to hang on to those things that were going to kill me and send me to hell, eventually they got pulled away. And the Lord was gracious and merciful to me, even though I didn't just willfully let them go. It would sure have been a whole lot easier if I'd have just done that. And I was thinking about a passage in 2 Corinthians 12. Scott and I were talking about this the other night, verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. Wow. There's plenty of them, but this is an attitude that Paul carried that I stand accused of not having. If you would fancy yourself, aspire in yourself to be as profitable for the Lord as Paul was, that lowliness of mind, that attitude change that says, I glory in tribulation. I glory in my infirmities. And my weakness am I made strong by the Lord. That's just admitting where you're at and trusting the Lord to make that weakness of yours, that need to seek Him and to love the things He loves and love the people He loves and to tell them the truth, is good. It's good for you. It's good for them. And it pleases the Father. And that's what our charge was. You love God, love one another. Needs to matter to you that those over you are pleased with you, that those that need you are pleased having you. And that in doing all that, you're pleasing the Father. want to be pleasing. Right, buddy? I didn't think we were going to get this in under the wire, but we did. I'm done.